Okay, here we are, shir number 3 in the Kachim Kabura. What I want to do today is a couple things. I want to begin the sugya of Lishma by Kachim. Lishma by Kachim. This is probably one of the hard sugyas in all of Kachim. If you could take a vote on which sugya is written most about on Kachim, if you look at a sefer on Zvachim, svarim on Zvachim write most about the topic of Lishma. It's the widest topic on Lishma by Kachim. And it's so hard because we're going to have to figure out what's Lishma mean, what's Kavana, all these terms which we throw around, we're finally going to have to define for the first time in our lives. And that's why it becomes a very difficult sugya, especially when you're always trying to figure out, are the rules that Kachim play by, are those different rules? Are they playing by the same rules, or are they playing by different rules? Okay? So, those who have been at the shiur so far, the first shiur was just introductory. The second shiur was about the role of the basic issue of whether when we say a machshava is faulty by kachim, a bad machshava, does it mean verbalization as well? So we said, just to conclude and keep everything very simple, the majority opinion is that when there is a psul b'machshava by kachim, it wasn't in the mind. It was something you thought and said. That's what it means. Rambam did say the mind is enough. Most people say it's you need verbalization. So even though the Mishnah and the Gemara keep using the word machshava, thought, it still needs some verbalization to be anything significant and tangible. Okay? That being said, let's begin right now. And we're going to begin by doing something very simple and the most necessary thing we need to do. And that is just to read inside. To read the Gemara, I know we started the Mishnah, the opening Gemara and the Mishnah Zvachim. By the way, it starts over here on page 2, and then I have it again on page 3, a more fuller version. I don't remember why I did that, but it is that way. Let's start. Let's read it inside, just get clarity on the sugya itself. I'll do the Mishnah real quickly, and then the Gemara. I'll read the Mishnah very quickly, because we did it last time. I'll do it in 2 minutes. Kol hazvachim shenizbuchu lo shman ksherim. Any korban that was done, shelo lishman. We're not done, you change it up. What do you mean, lo lishma? Pashup shat and lo lishma is examples. You did it, you have a korban ola, and instead you thought it was a korban shlamim. Right? You brought this as a korban ola, and instead you said, this is a korban shlamim. You changed up what it was supposed to be for. Kol hazvachim shenizbuchu shelo lishman. They're going to be kosher, but shelo alu labalim shem chova. But they don't count as your obligation of what you had to bring. You obligated yourself, or the Torah obligated you to bring a certain animal. You changed it up. This one won't count for it. It's still kosher, meaning finish the process. Still kosher means finish the process, but you weren't yotze anything. Except for the Pesach and the Chatas, once you change the mindset on those, it's totally ruined. It's no good. You stop right there. It's puzzle. Stop right there. I want to clarify that by Pesach, what does it mean that you ruined the Pesach? It's specifically when it's Erev Pesach, in the right time frame. It's specifically Erev Pesach. And instead of thinking Korban Pesach, which this was supposed to be, instead you think Korban Ashem, something else. That's how you ruin a Pesach. The second you have that bad machshava, stop there. Stop right there, it's done. So too with the Korban Chatas, and the Chatas applies the entire year. If this was supposed to be a Korban Chatas, and instead I say Korban Shlamim, stop right there. HaPesach bizmano v'chatas b'chozma. That's what I just said, fine. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Afa Asham. Rabbi Eliezer includes in the list even a Korban Asham. Basically, for right now, we're going to use the difference between a Korban Chatas and a Korban Asham. A sin offering called the Chatas is any offering that comes for a kares-bearing sin. A sin that you did that usually incurs, if done on purpose, the penalty of a kares, that's when you bring a chatas. What then is an asham? That's for all sins listed on Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Nun Dalet Amud Beis has the list of what gets a korban asham. You can take a look then and there. So he adds to the list.
What are the footnotes on what?
What?
The footnotes on the asham.
They might be more group-oriented sins, things like that. And they're
five kinds of
what? All different kinds. It's a. We're gonna spend plenty of time on what specifically is an ashram. Now the Mishnah continues and says, Rabbi Lezer says, Rabbi Lezer afa ashram pesach bizmano, and the chatas va ashram b'chol zman. And he says the chatas and the ashram, you could ruin it by doing it the wrong thing any time of the year. So he adds, he's a third on the list. Amar Rabbi Lezer hachatas baal chet. Sin offering comes for a sin, and an asham comes for a sin. They both come for sin. So just why he's explaining now why he added asham to the list. That's what this line is doing. He's adding how he added asham to the list. That just like a chatas is pasul shelo lishma, so too an asham is pasul shelo lishma. Yosi ben Choni Omer. Here's another opinion. Hanishchatim l'shem Pesach. Not only if you take a Pesach and ruin it and think something else, but if you take anything which was supposed to be something else and go to a Pesach, let's take a benign korban, a shlamim. And while you have a shlamim, you say, you know what? Let's forget shlamim. Let's take a korban toda. That's a pseudo shlamim. Let's take a korban not in anybody's list. Give me the korban. Korban nazir. Korban many korban. Korban ola. You take a korban ola and you think, I want this to be this korban ola. And then all of a sudden you say, you know what? Korban Pesach. So anytime you take something and turn it into a korban pesach when it wasn't supposed to be, he says that also ruins the korban. Not just taking something away from a korban pesach, but bringing something to a korban pesach that shouldn't have been. So Yosef ben Choni Omer shchatan l'shem pesach shem chatas psulin. Shimon achi Azaria Omer shachtan l'shem gvo. He's another shita in the Mishnah. Shimon achi Azaria says if you shecht something for a purpose, an animal that's a higher level than the one you plan to do with this, that kind of change, that's okay. That's going to be kosher. L'shem nomach mehem, but for one lower, that's going to be pasul. What he means by pasul is totally. The word pasul usually means legamre, stop there type thing. Okay, Kate said, what's an example? If I had in mind, I'm going to bring this for a kotche kotchim. We're going to see what exactly are kotche kotchim. But if I had this in mind for holy stuff, sheshachtem l'shem kotchim kalim, and instead I started doing the shechita and said, oh, I'm doing this for one of the minor stuff, one of the minor korbanos. If you do something like that, That's going to ruin it. But if you do vice versa, it's going to be kosher. And if you have a korban shlamim, which you shecht for the purpose of a bechor or a meiser, that's going to be pasul. The end of the Mishnah is teaching you that a bechor and a korban meiser are lower level. Our meiser behema are lower level than a stam shlamim. Leave that aside for now. Bottom line from the Mishnah, yes. Bottom line from the Mishnah, what you get is that you're not supposed to have a shinoi, a change. As we said, we'll say it's expressed according to the majority opinion. An express change from what you brought the animal for, that'll ruin the animal. The question is, what does it mean it'll ruin the animal? Does it ruin it totally, or does it ruin it just for the purpose of why you brought it? But it still finished the process. So that's the Mishnah, different opinions, Chatas Pesach. What you need to clarify is, when did I have this change of mind? In which part of the process did I have this change of mind? And what kind of change of mind are we talking about over here? So it sounds like the change of mind that we're talking about in this Mishnah is you changed what the animal's identity was. You went from Ola to Shlamim. Not that you changed the date, or you changed or you changed how you're going to offer it. You changed what the animal was. That's what it sounds like is the change here. And the second issue is, at which point did you make a change? At what point did you make this change? So I'll tell you right now, there are four parts to the blood offer. It's called the Dam Avoda, the blood offering. There's the Shechita, that's the Shechting. There's the Kabbalah, there's the receiving of the blood in the service vessel, the Kli Sharis. There's the Halacha, there's walking with the blood. And there's the Zrika, there's throwing the blood. You could technically ruin an animal by having a bad Machshava, plus verbal, we'll just call it Machshava from here on in, by having a bad Machshava at any step of these four. Our Mishnah seems to be focusing on just on the Shechita. Why just the Shechita? Because that's just, it's the basic, the beginning step, it's the most common, it's where you're at, but you could have ruined it at any step. So let's say you had a wrong Machshava, what are you supposed to do, just the process? If, for example, I brought a Shlamim, and this is going with the first opinion, I brought a Shlamim, and instead I thought, I'm going to do this as an Ola. If you did that while you were Shechting it, you should make sure the rest of your process continues back on the way it was originally. Don't keep changing at each step. That's what it means, kosher. Just finish what you started as though it was the thing from the beginning, even though you had a slight deviation there in the middle. Okay? The best way to know this Mishnah is just to review it. Look it over and review it. Yes?
Maybe out of ignorance, I asked the question.
different karbanos, do they have different animals or it's always the same animal?
Oh.
And my question comes into play is, the machshava, if you're changing it to be something higher or lower in the kedusha level, it has to be an animal that's okay with being that other...
Within that category.
Within that category.
Excellent.
No? That's
excellent.
That's
excellent. That is going to be part of what we're going to explore, but... A lot of the korbanos have an overlap in animals. Right. So to make our lives easier for now, let's assume we're referring to the same animal for each of the times you change it up to make our lives easier.
Good. A different question, if I may. If you hold it's machshava, how did anyone ever know? This has bothered me for years.
If it's just in your mind, who knew at the end of the day?
Yeah.
It was talking to you. What you're supposed to do. No one's going
to...
When
else? Kind God is supposed to come up and say, hey, I made a mess?
Well, yeah, I changed it. I changed it. We got to figure out what to do.
Conscious. Him 5 days later. Yeah. Like, I didn't really bring the card.
It was never about a Knas and Beis Din. There are then Diyunim in the Gemara later on. Once he says, I ruined your animals, they're fine. Is there a penalty? There's all of that. But for right now, it's what's the correct procedure? On a procedure level, what's the correct procedure? Okay, that aside, the Gemara is actually easier than the Mishnah.
Is the Machshava, if it happens at the end of the Shkita, meaning after the point of which the Shkita is ready?
The Shkita,
point where the Shkita is ready?
Yeah, it's the beginning of the cut, the end of the cut, right. Sof Shkita, all that, we have to figure that out as well. Make our lives easier, let's say it as you're beginning the cut, as you're beginning the you've begun Ma'on and Absimon, as you've begun, right, as you're cutting there.
Before the Simonim.
Yeah, before the Simonim. Good. Now, so the Gemara, very simply, Gemara is easier than the Mishnah here. This Mishnah, by the way, is one of the hardest Mishnayos in all of Shishei Sidra Mishnah, by the way. It's considered one of the hardest Mishnayos, what we just did. Because to figure out how each one disagrees, like Avi said, what the animal? The animal's the same. You need so much background in this one Mishnah. If you're having a tough time with it, I also suggest Rabbi Pogro's website, mastertorah.com, where he has a separate section where he just goes through all the Mishnayos, like he spends so much clarity on the Mishnayos, he rips it apart, and if you really want to analyze it well. Now the Gemara. Lama lilis misna. Why did the Gemara say the line, Ela shalo alu? But it's kosher, but it doesn't count, except that it doesn't work for him as his obligation. Just say, it's kosher, and it doesn't count for his obligation. What do you mean, Ela shalo, but that it doesn't count for his obligation? So HaKomashmalan wants to teach you, Labailam hu delo alu l'shem chova. It doesn't count for its owner, for me, for what I wanted to use it for. Aval bekedusha seyu kaime, but it still has value. It's still holy. Va'aser l'shnuya behu. And why is that relevant to me? It means I shouldn't keep going with this. Don't keep saying, oh, I can now keep flipping what I wanted for at each step. No, once you've realized that you've messed up, stop doing this. Continue the process with the right animal in mind. Get back on track. Don't think that now once I messed up, it's over. I can keep thinking whatever I want. No, asur lishnoibu. You got to stop this. Ukidarava, da'ama Rava. Rava says, Ola sheshachta shelo lishma. An Ola that was shechted shelo lishma. Asur lizrak dama shelo lishma. You can't then say, all right, now let me throw the blood for the wrong reason. No, I got to get back on the right course. Ibayis ema, svara, ibayis ema kra. How do I know this, that I can't change the ending once I messed up at the beginning? Let me mess up the rest of the way. Some say it's logic, some say it's a pasuk. Those who say it's logic is that mishum deshaniba, kol hani lishaniba, because I messed up once, I should keep messing up and continue. Ibayis ema kra. I could also tell you the source for this is a pasuk. Motse svasecha tishmor, you should watch what come out of your mouth. Vasita kasher nedarta, and do like you did as a neder, la Hashem elokecha nedava, to Hashem your God a nedava. So the obvious stira in this pasuk, the contradiction is, it starts by saying you should do what you made a neder, and then it says at the end, to Hashem your God, it's a nedava. Those are both form of pledges. They're different. A neder is when you say, this is upon me as a korban. I have to bring an offering. A nedava is harei ze korban. This itself is a korban. So which was it? A neder or nedava? How did it flip? So it's saying, hai nedava nederhu. Elaim kamosh nedarta asita yehei neder. V'im lo nedava yehei. Meaning, it may start off that you had a neder. I'm going to bring a korban ola. Once you messed up, though, don't think it's over. Once you messed up, finish your process. Finish your process, because now it's turned from a neder to a nedava. You got to finish with this animal. You started with this animal, finish with the animal. Don't think because you messed up it's over. You still have other business to take care of, but continue your process. It's a great line. Ravina says to Rav Papa, you were not by us at night when you missed a big show. In the Tchuma Becharmech, the Rami Rava Mile, they were throwing peppers at Rava. They were shooting questions like crazy at Rava. Mal Yosei Adadi Veshonilu, and he answered every single question we threw at him that night. So he's telling him, Ravina's saying to Rav Papa, you missed a great show last night. Rava was answering all these questions. You missed some great questions. So they asked, give me an example of what I missed. My Mili Mal Yosei, give me something great that I missed. So this is what you missed. Last night he said, Tanan, Kol Hazvachim Shenizbachu Shalolishma. This is what they asked him. Our Mishnah says that all korbanos that are shechted Shalolishma, they're not going to be good to the level that they're not going to be good on, as we said. That implies that if you don't have a machshava Shalolishma, this is the key line. That implies that if you just don't have a negative machshava, that on a basic level, as long as you don't ruin it, we assume Stama Lishma. If it tells you in our Mishnah that if you have a bad mindset, you ruin an animal, what's the inference? The inference is that if you had a neutral mindset, it's good, right? If the Mishnah tells you you got a negative mindset, it's bad, the inference is that if you had a neutral mindset, you're good to go. Okay, that's fine. The problem is when you compare that to Gittin, for a mini, I'm going to point out a contradiction. By Gittin, it says, Kol haget shenechtav shelo l'shem isha, any get that's not written specifically for the right woman, it's going to be puzzle. V'stama nami puzzle. We assume a get that's written stam. Without intent, it's going to be puzzle. So why buy a korban? This is what they asked Rava that night, the big pepper they threw at him. Rava, why buy a korban is the implication of our Mishnah, that stam, in a neutral mindset, you're still good to go, while by a get, if you didn't specify who it's for, it's bad. So what is the answer? What did he answer that night?
One of the things you can give is that
same name. Another woman, same name. Why not? So the answer the Gemara gives is what's called the reason why. I'll tell you why it's not a problem. Because there's a famous line: Isha b'stama lav legerishin omedes. A woman isn't made to be divorced. That's not the de facto situation. Now it is in America. It's 52%. It's the de facto. A woman is not there to be divorced. That's a b'di'evit situation that may come up. It may come up that there's a divorce. But an animal, what the Gemara says, but however, a kochim, when you bring it as an offering, when you bring it to the base of Mikdash, zvachim b'stam lishma omdim. It's standing, it's lishma is implicit already in the animal. That's his answer. He gives that gittin is much different than kochim. And then he says, how do we know that? And he goes, for how do I know the difference between the two? Okay? Let's stop there for right now.
All animals, or only animals that have already been brought to the basement?
That's what they try to work on, because he says zvachim stam lishma. What does zvachim mean? Something like
you'd assume the makom mikdash already.
Yeah, that's what I assumed also when I translated it. I don't want to assume which the road you might go down, because then it's not the average animals
right,
for KD.
Right, because it becomes
right,
a big mess.
Right, exactly. So I assume the basement mikdash.
Can I ask a question?
Sure, please.
How could the Gemara even think stama is good? How could the Gemara even have such a thought? How it works out, you'll work it out in this
yeah.
year. But before that, when we go on a Shakla Bataya, Mitzvah Tzichas, come on a Mitzvah Tzichas. So here's a guy who just throws his animal down, he's got a blank mind. How could they be such a havami?
I'll give you an answer which is not right, but it's enough to go on for right now. It's not the right answer, because I already know the lumdas at the end, but the wrong answer for right now is that here he is in the base of Mikdash, he know what he did wrong, he's coming in with a specific animal you're supposed to use, he's there with his guilt of what just happened, of why he's there, he made a neder that he's going to bring this animal.
Right.
Everything's sitting there, mamish, arkarkafta de behema, on this animal's head, whether he expresses it or not. Stama, everything is in place, everything's aligned for that to be the right animal and the right usage, okay? Something like that.
Someone who doesn't know. Someone did a chait, his neighbor says to him.
No, but the kohen,
yeah, I mean, when the kohen himself is going to bring the animal, right? When the kohen himself changes.
The Kohen,
yeah, the kohen's the one who makes the.
Then clearly, then zvachim must be talking about makom
mikdash. Makom mikdash, right?
Good.
Good. Excellent. Good point. Good. Okay, that was just setup. That was Gemara. That was Mishnah. That was setup. What I'd like to do now is really go through it. Step by step, what does lishma mean? What does kavana mean? What in the world are we talking about? Okay, and I'm going to really try to break it down in a clear way, so we have a chakira that could take us through every major sugya in Zvachim that we need. The Gemara in Zvachim, Mem Zayin Amid Aleph, has a line. I don't know if I put it in the packet. It's two lines. Minayin l'misasek b'kachim. How do I know that one who's misasek b'kachim? That means you're just working with kachim. You're not even know what you're doing. You're just misasek b'kachim shehu pasul. How do I know that it's pasul when you're misasek b'kachim? Because it says v'shachat et ben bakar lifnei Hashem. When you shech the ben bakar in front of God. Misasek is someone who's not in front of God. He's checked out. I didn't translate the word misasek well for you purposely. Now let's analyze. I'm starting from misasek because it's mamish the lowest level you can get as far as mind in Judaism. There's kavana, there's lishma. You'll hear these phrases. Let's do it lishma. Or what was your machshava? Or did you have kavana? The lowest level of it all is something called misasek. What in the world is misasek? So there are three possible ways to define misasek. Rashi tells us that misasek is misasek bisakino la hatvich. You're playing around with your knife to make it better. You're like, oh, and before you know it, I just cut the animal the right way. Misasek means, literally as Rashi said, I was playing around with the knife, or I'm a knife juggler, I juggle knives. You're going to juggle 1,000 knives over an animal's head. One's going to cut the simanim the right way. And I did it. I cut the animal the right way.
Tomorrow in Chulin.
Chulin. Rashi and Chulin. Rashi and Chulin says this in the context of Kachim. Rashi and Chulin. And he says, Misasek b'kachim. Misasek b'kachim. What does misasek mean? Misasek means you mamish had no clue what you were doing. You thought you were playing a sport. You were shaving your knife. You had no business in this whole realm. That's one definition of misasek. Another definition of misasek, Tosfos brings this one up, and that is niskaven lachtoch simonim. You're having in mind to cut the simonim, which are the different parts of the animal that need to be cut in order to achieve a kosher cut. Niskaven lachtoch simonim. You wanted to cut the simonim, but you weren't thinking shchita over here. You weren't thinking shchita. You're saying, I want to cut simanim over here. I want to see what this is like. I'm cutting simanim. So this second definition gets you closer to some type of awareness of what's going on. The third definition is also Tosfos, and this is the most famous, is that you shechted the animal, but you thought it was chulin. You thought this animal was a non-kachim animal. You thought it was meat for the restaurant. Turns out it was actually going to be kachim for the Mizbeach and for the Beis HaMikdash. There's three possible definitions of what does misasek mean. Number one, you were playing with the knife for sport, happened to get the animal the right way. Number two, you weren't intending to shech, you were intending just to see what it's like to cut the simanim, and then you realize, oh, I just shechted a whole animal here. And number three is you were doing the shechita, you wanted the whole process done, but you thought it was for chulin. You thought the guy gave it to you for chulin, you as a kohen, but then you realize, no, he gave it to you because you're a kohen and you're in the base of Migdash, and he wants you to shech the animal for kachin. Okay, those are three possibilities of what misasek is. Now, among those three, I identify two classifications of misasek. One is a mistake in the nature of the object. That was number three. Number three told me that I thought this object was chulin, was stam an animal. I didn't know anybody consecrated it. The flaw was in the animal. The flaw was in my relationship to the object itself. One and two, the first two definitions of misasek, were flaws that were in my action itself. When I was cutting, I was doing it for sport, not to shech the animal. Number two, I wasn't intending to do the whole shechita process. I just wanted to get the simonim. And voila, before I know it, I've shechted this whole animal. So the third one is a flaw is in my relationship to the object. The first two were a flaw in the way, in the manifestation or the appreciation of my action itself. These are three different types of misasek, which you'll see in general across the board whenever you get to cases of misasek. So from now on, whenever you see in a Gemara, misasek ba'alma, he was just misasek, ask yourself, which one of these three or two basic categories was it? Was it a misasek mistake in my relationship to the object, or was it misasek in the way I was dealing with the object itself? Okay, that's step one. Step two is as follows. Is this issue of misasek an issue in kol haTorah kula, or is it a kachim issue? This issue of misasek that we're talking about now, where the Gemara in Zvachim said, minayin lemisasek bekachim shuhu pasul, is that an issue in kachim or kol haTorah kula? You see the word Hilchas Shabbos, right. You see the word, but when I say it over here in this Gemara, in the context of Kachim, was that referring to the din of Misasek that we know from Shabbos, we might know from Hilchas Sukkah, we might know in other areas? Is that the same is that the same thing, or is this a special Kachim rule?
It's a verb by Shabbos, and here it's almost like an adverbial clause, it's a state, right?
Minayin lemisasek bekachim shuhu pasul. It's going to be puzzled if you're misasek, right? Misasek ba'alma. You're misasek ba'alma in Shabbos. See that? You're generally misasek. So you want to say here it sounds like it's something different because it's a quality of being. But I don't know if you could prove that one or the other. Yeah.
I think it's a state by Shabbos also.
Okay, good. It's a state
I
of being.
Turn on the light, misasek. You know?
That was a misasek act. It was deemed a misasek action.
Flying around is misasek.
Horsing around.
Yeah.
The first one, the right, the playing of the knife.
But the Gemara means you stop the procedure then if this guy was misasek, or you finish the procedure.
Okay. What would be the difference whether it's kol haTorah kula misasek or if it's kachim misasek? Who cares? At the end of the day, the Gemara is telling you it's misasek. The difference is, over here in Zvachim, they gave you a pasuk, v'shachat et ben bakar lifnei Hashem, meaning if this is a special kachim misasek, the pasuk is limiting it to which area? V'shachat. When you do the shechita. Meaning, if it's just a special thing unique to Kachim, then I got to look at what the Pasuk is. What's the Pasuk? V'shachat. Therefore, I could extrapolate that it's only going to be a problem in the Shechita part of the process. But if I say Misasek is a problem across the board, Kol haTorah Kula, then the problem is going to apply by all four Avodas. The problem will apply further than this V'shachat. Understand? If I say it's a Kachim issue, then I got to look at what the Pasuk is. V'shachat et ben bakar lifnei Hashem. Shachat, that's it. Don't make more of Misasek a problem than it is by Kachim. It's just by V'shachat. But if we're talking about Misasek as a Kachim problem, like any other problem, Shabbos, Lulav, everything, then it's going to be a problem if I do it every step of the way. And Pasul Lagamre, it sounds like from the Gemara.
Don't finish.
You puzzle. You've totally ruined this thing. You've totally. It sounds like totally ruined. Yeah.
Just a, I guess, general knowledge question. But can, when a korban is being brought, can Kohanim hand off to each part? You know, does one Kohen have to do everything, or can he hand off to another Kohen? So one Kohen does shita, hands off. The other one collects the blood, hands off to another.
Okay.
One
of my nafkaminas. I'm about to set up a chakira coming soon. One of my nafkaminas is going to be two Kohanim. It's the chasm sofer I have there in the packet.
The shita I had kavana was a misasik either guy was.
Right. Excellent.
Yeah. I also see by Avodas by Yom Kippur that the Kohen Gadol. Does a shechita, but then other people are keeping it. Well, they're just keeping it.
Well,
like
that would be a very important
one after the next.
What? Right. There was a whole procedure of how they would do it. Well, Corbin Tomit, you said Corbin
right.
Tomit. Yeah, Tomit.
That'd be a real nafkamina for that would have to be shechita only, because if it was a handoff process, you could say that misasek and kol haTorah kula is a problem.
Well, you have to ask them. No, because you might have by kol haTorah kula, you might have an issue of kol haosel das rishona osel.
Right.
That you're following, everyone's piggybacking off the first guy.
The pasuk is specifically saying by shechita that even if everyone else quote, isn't phoning it in, that the person doing the shechita
is the one you care about.
No,
yeah.
The problem with shechita, the more it's cool, and if I throw the knife, the shech to behemoth, the behemoth shech. That's
yeah.
The biggest misasik there is. You know, I'm a knife thrower, and I happen to cut.
Why? Because why do you need kavana by shechita?
You don't need
kavana. Right, you don't need it. By kachim, the Gemara is telling you need kavana, you need not kavana, you don't use the wrong word. Misasek by kachim is no good. That's what it says. Let's not use words we don't know yet. Misasek is the only word we know right now. Misasek by kachim is no good. It's no good.
Well, we
so
don't know. You gave us three
definitions. Any three possibilities, either of those three, it depends on who, is going to be no good. So now, which one is it? Is it just the Shechita, or is it a kol dalet avodos is the problem of misasik by kachim? So listen what the Rambam says. Hashochet et hakachim v'lo niskaven l'shechita ele k'misasik harei elu psulin ad shiskaven l'shechita. Sounds like for the Rambam, and a lot of the Rishonim on the Rambam, the Achronim on the Rambam, I'll point out, that for the Rambam, the psul of misasik is strictly in the Shechita. Is strictly in the Shechita. Which, if you play back what I'm saying, means he understands the topic of misasik by kachim to be a special kachim topic. Ramban, on the other hand, says it's a psul by kol dalet avodas. It's a thing you can mess up in all four avodas, which means he understands the topic of misasik by kachim across the board. Across the board, okay? I want to make this statement as you brought it up. An animal you're shechting for food, okay? An animal you're shechting for food. I'll say one step back and clear.
One of the famous things with the knife.
With the knife, throw it across the board, cut the knife. Okay, good. Good. The first two were a mistake in your action. I gave the three definitions. The first two were a mistake in your action. The third was a mistake in the object. A mistake in the object. Some of the Achronim and the Briskerov make a split like this. It's beautiful. Beautiful split. The misasek of the first two categories, to remind you, what was that? When I'm playing with the knife and throwing it against the wall. And, oh, shech's an animal. Or the misasek of the nature where I was intending to do something else and, wow, it did this. That's the misasek which is in your action. That misasek is the misasek by Kol HaTorah Kula. That's the misasek that we find by Shabbos, that we find by Sukkah. That's the one we find by everywhere else. Everywhere, what?
It's like an inadvertent.
Right, where your action, the flaw was in your action was something, you're thinking I'm doing this, I'm cutting this. It was nothing to do with the object. I thought I'm playing with a knife. Oh, it cut an animal. The mistake wasn't in the object. It was in the action you were doing. But a mistake in the object, that kind of misasek is only by kachim. That's the misasek by kachim. We now have a definition. When you see the phrase, oh, it's misasek by kachim, you know what that means according to this analysis? Misasek by kachim means that you thought this animal, you made a mistake in the animal, the nature of the animal itself. You mamish thought the animal was X and it turned out it was Y. Or you thought the animal was chulin and it turned out to be kachim. That's misasek by kachim. Misasek by kol HaTorah Kula is a mistake in your action. I was just smacking the wind and I ended up cutting leaves off a tree. That's a misasek in my action. But a misasek in the object was I thought. Misasek by kachim is in the object. It's strictly in the object. I thought this was an ola. I didn't realize it's an ashim. Or I thought this was a chulin and it turns out it was kachim. It's a mistake. It's in the object. That's because we have a pasuk by kachim. At shachar ben bakar lifnei Hashem. That's what the Briskerov wanted to make this split to say there's a difference between misasek in general and misasek by kachim. Yes.
How would you come up with a situation of Shabbos and say where it's enough? I mean, it doesn't make sense in another context.
Right. It doesn't. Right. It's just it's practical. What he's saying.
Right.
It's just practical.
Right,
it's
didn't know with Shabbos or Shaggy.
No.
Nobody's saying it's pragmatic. Just this idea. Because what's an example by Shabbos where you? Well, I guess you thought the light
was not much in
the right. Night. You thought the object was a was it something? Well, you thought it was the grumma. You thought it was the grumma microphone they gave you that Shabbos, and it turned out it was the it wasn't the Tzomet mic. Right. They gave you the real one. They brought out the Reform one. You didn't realize. Okay, that could be this one, the misasek v'kachim type of misasek. I don't know. We have to think about that now. That's misasek. We're going to put that away for now. Put away misasek for now. Mitzvah srichas kavana. Let's talk about kavana. Mitzvah srichas kavana, that's already a much higher level. Much higher level than misasek. So much so that if you hold mitzvahs don't need kavana at all, you could still say that misasek is bad. Even if you hold mitzvahs don't need kavana, you could still say misasek ruins your animal. That's how low on the totem pole misasek is in general. What's a proof for that? One that comes to mind is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Lama Gimel Amud Beis, ha misasek lo yotza. One is misasek with the thing, is not yotze. But if you were tokea l'shir, yotza. But if you were blowing on the shofar for the purpose of music, meaning your intent was off, you're yotze. So even though, even if you paskin mitzvahs don't need kavana, you still have to know what you're doing. I knew I was blowing a shofar here. I did it for music. I knew I was blowing a shofar. That's not misasik. Misasik was I didn't even know what I was dealing with over here. I thought I was blowing into a wind. There happened to be a shofar in my mouth, something like that. Misasik is not yotze at all. Misasik is different than kavana. Don't people do that all the
don't
time?
You always say that though?
What?
But mitzvahs shvitlus kavana in general, that you don't have to have, that, or mitzvahs and shvitlus kavana, you don't have to have kavana, but if you have kavana for something different, it wouldn't be good.
That's anti-kavana.
Absent-mindedness is fine, but anti-kavana is
no,
not
okay. No, the sugi of anti-kavana is different than misasik. Misasik is not anti-kavana.
Or alternative kavana.
No.
Misasik is not anti-kavana. Misasik says lights out.
Playing around.
Drone, playing around. Nothing. Nothing from nothing. Anti-kavana means I have in mind I want to not be yotze. Different.
Or I want to be yotze something else.
What? I want to be yotze. I didn't want to be yotze for what it was for. I have in mind to not. To not. That's anti-kavana.
Basically, the difference is like general and specific intent. Like, if general intent is just that you're a person that's acting. So, like, it's only to exclude someone, let's say, who's sleepwalking. That would not be even misasik, right?
Exclude someone who's sleepwalking.
If someone's sleepwalking and does an action, that would not be misasik. It's basically the only time. Otherwise, someone is always just acting out of intent. They may be daydreaming.
Very good.
But they're out of intent.
Very good.
But if someone's sleepwalking,
very
good.
You have Adam Mu'ed Le'olam, Ben Er, Ben Yashin, whether he's awake or whether he's sleeping,
okay.
As far
so
as Nezik. It depends which case when you're sleeping. You have a great truth from Rav Aji Yosef. If a person was sleeping in Maariv and they heard the Omer in their dream, and Omer was going on, meaning it's a sleep state where you are asleep, but you are dreaming it because you're hearing it. Because you're hearing it. So he talks a lot if you could be Yotze the Sphere, so Omer.
Really?
If did you count on that level? He actually has all tshuva on it.
Sometimes I daven in the morning.
What?
Sometimes I'm davening and I wake up and I'm still in bed.
Oh.
I should be able to,
No. But that's only if you heard davening when you're in bed. You know what I mean? You're hearing the Omer,
like,
that's what it says.
What?
What?
Are you maybe considered a Cher Shodvikot?
Are you like Cher Shodvikot when you sleep? Okay,
no, that happens Shavuos time. When people are up all night and they're dozing during davening,
happens
sort of.
More often than your Shavuos.
What's your status?
Like,
this is a famous Lakir. This is a famous Lakir with
the
minion, the encounter minion. Yeah.
The specific intent, I'm doing this action for this specific purpose, or the general intent, which is I'm doing the action because I'm a human being that all my actions have intentionality.
You want to say Kavana is a more specified form of
correct, and to be misasik is simply just to be acting as a human, just doing things because you're doing things.
Okay, so good. So based on that, I would set it up as three levels to make our lives easy. You have misasik at the bottom rung of the totem pole. Misasik at the bottom rung. I would then have Tokea Lashir, blowing the shofar, meaning the wrong reason. And then afterwards, I would have Miskaven, Kavana. There's different levels in how a person could do a mitzvah. You could be doing something on three levels. I could take a shofar and just be Misasik. I don't know what I'm doing and with what. The next level is, I know I have a shofar, but I'm using it Lashir. I'm using it right now to sing a song. And the next level is Mamish Kavana, Miskaven. Is Mamish Miskaven. Now let's talk about kachim, and this is where you get into a machlokas. You can't set up the machlokas like this in some yeshivas; they'll throw you out. So I'll set it up like this: the Brisker Rav versus I saw from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Okay, the Brisker Rav and Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. I wouldn't say he argues; he analyzes it differently. The Brisker Rav, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Okay, it's the Karen. Make it easier for people to swallow. The Karen Ora and Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. I have different ways of understanding this, and this is just fantastic. Watch this. The Karen Ora, in his introduction to Zvachim, Karen Ora says that Lishma by Kachim, when they want you to have Lishma, we learned what Misasik
is. Karen Ora?
What?
Karen Ora?
Karen Ora is the late 1800s, Karen Ora. Late 1800s. So now, the Karen Ora says, Lishma by Kachim. You know what that is? We know what Misasik is now. We know what Kavana is now. What's Lishma? When you hear the phrase Lishma by Kachim, it means number three. It means Kavana. It means Kavana. Lishma means Kavana. Different ones every time. Lishma means Kavana. That's what the Karen Ora says. Let's see if we have the right tip. Vakati I lamedek I be'inan klal ma'ator shiyachshav Lishma. The lachachila vade mashvatarach mashav Lishma. L'sheish devarim. Okay, Vafilo, you talk about Bidiyavir Lechachila, and he said, Zekivon, Machshava Bailim, Zekivon. Zekivon. Okay, it's a Kavana. That's what it is. It's a Kavana over here. He equates the two.
You're talking about the Bailim or the
Koine? Not the Bailim. He says, Machshava Bailim, Lo Nitzrucha Klalidan, Avakoina Oved, Tzarech Shiachshav Lishma, Vekiven. Kavana, And that's also the Brisker Rav says the same thing.
Ha'oved min shchita.
What? Ha'oved, yeah, the shochet, the shchita. Now, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein pointed out in his Sefer on Zvachim that there are two different questions, Lishma and Kavana. And this is where he breaks it a little different than you were saying.
Right.
And this is so nice. What's the difference between Lishma and Lishma and Kavana? This is great. You could use this now all over the place. Lishma asks what? Kavana asks why? There are two different worlds. Lishma asks, what's my future purpose right here? What's my tachlis? What am I headed towards over here? What am I headed towards? What am I trying to do here? What am I trying to do? What's the chalos that I'm trying to create? What's the situation change that I'm trying to achieve? Meaning in Hebrew, it's ma, it's lama, to what ends? What is trying to be done here? What am I trying to get done here?
Torah lishma, at least in
He's saying kachim. Kachim lishma. Kachim lishma, when it's lishma over here, the topic of lishma is not the same as kavana. Lishma here by a korban is to what ends? To what ends?
But basically, the only answer to that question is what korban are you bringing? Is it a shav?
We'll plug it into our Mishnah. Hold on, we'll plug it into our Mishnah. The kavana, though, asks why. Lama, why am I eating matzah right now? Why am I blowing the shofar? What?
Isn't the question of to what end?
Lishma's to what end? Kavana asks why am I doing
it? Isn't that the identical question, just worded differently?
No. Why am I blowing the shofar? Because I love the ring? Or because I am doing a mitzvah.
As opposed to what?
Lishma says, I want to, not why am I doing it, I'm doing, Lishma is not asking why am I bringing korban, I'm supposed to bring korban. Lishma asks, what ends? I want it to be a korban that is shechted according to dinim X and Y and Z. It's telling me, what's the process? What's happening over here? What is going on? That's what Lishma does. It's a beautiful way of breaking it down. Kavana asks me for the purpose. Why? Why? It's a philosophical question. Lishma is a technical question. What is going on here? Tell me what's happening over here. Explain to me the process.
That's just
the question is either kachim or kulin.
What?
Are you doing it for meat or are you doing it for a kachim process?
Right. He's right.
Lishma then brings you the two questions.
But then the issue is, once I've identified it's kachim, what kind of kachim is this? Is it an ola? What is this? What am I doing here?
Well, then you come to the kavana.
That's the kavana idea, right.
It seems like an artificial feeler.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Let's say it better, if I'm understanding him right.
It's not so bad that it comes down to two questions, because really there are only two problems you can have with the carbon. The two basic problems we could say.
Just look at the first Mishnah. You go into
about problem with the type of carbon. Is there a problem in the fact that it was a carbon or not a carbon?
Well, look at the first Mishnah. Kol hazvachim shenizbuchu shelo lishman. Any korban that's shechted shelo lishman is going to be kosher. Ela shelo alu labaylin l'shem kova. But it doesn't count for his obligation. That's a korban shelo lishman. What does that mean? Shelo lishman. So the example of what it really means here, if you translate the Mishnah, it means it was supposed to be for an ola, and you had in mind instead that it's a korban chatas. Meaning, what was I trying to achieve with this animal? Not why am I bringing it. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein is saying, this line is telling you, what am I trying to achieve with this animal? I'm trying to achieve that when I shecht it, it goes through the process so that it serves as the chatas. That's the process I want. I get a checklist of protocol for each korban. The korban Torah, I want this to be the korban chatas process. Why? Asks me that when I shecht it, I need to know why I do this. Because Hashem commanded me to bring a korban, and a korban is the way in which I achieve kapara. That's the why. The what is asking me to be specific as far as what's the game plan over here? What's going to do? I'm going to offer it as a ola so that it. That's the what. They're different questions.
Just make it look a little simpler. Can you say that what you look at is you bring the chatas, and the korban is also chatas, and the shema is should be for chatas rather than for an ola. And the kavana should be that it's a chatas for this person rather than that person. So if he
that's
says,
a different
name. Yeah, two different, you know, there's two different people there, and he says, the korban has a kavana that's going to be,
You brought me the partners also before. You brought me, right? The two people doing the korban. You were the one who said that before.
Yes, yeah, so the two.
Okay, fine. Yeah, now you got what?
With bringing for one
owner. Shinoim. Where do you see the different shinoim? We're going to see the different shinoim.
Because then you have the. I mean, there they're both for chatas, and you brought it for person A and it was really for person B, you have the right, the way we're defining things, you have the right lishma, but you have the wrong kavan.
Good. So we have to see if there's a conflict. So now, what I think is as follows. take writing a get. Writing a get, you're supposed to have, let's say, the nesina and the ksiva lishma, both parts of the process be lishma. The nesina, the giving, and the ksiva, the writing of the get. Both are supposed to be lishma. Perhaps when we say, if you're understanding Rav Arnstein right, the writing, the giving of the get, the giving of the get, we have to make sure that that's done lishma. That's the lishma as kavana. When I say, you have to say, why are you giving this get? I'm giving this get for the purpose of divorcing her. That's the why. That's asking me the kavana. Why am I doing this? God commanded. That's the why. When we say you need the writing of the get to be lishma, the writing of the get to be lishma, that's not a question in why are you doing. That's what are you doing, because there you need to create a chalos. You need to transfer this from being a stam paper to being a real get. These things need to achieve different things in different instances when they come up. When they come up in different times. When they come up in different times.
Like matzah. What if with matzah, you know, l'shem it's matzah. But matzah that you doesn't have to be baked
what?
For. I mean, you could be. Theoretically not yotze if you eat matzah that wasn't made.
That right, wasn't shimor lishma. It depends which process. The ketzir, the shimor, all these types of lishma. What? Right, Rambam, it's steer in the Rambam. By matzah, he says that if the kafu parsim, if the Persians force you to eat matzah, so Rambam says you're yotze, but he paskins by Hilchas Shofar that if you have no kavana while you hear the shofar blowing, you're not yotze. So the famous stira, how you deal with both of them. How you deal with both of them. So by matzah, you have to ask which part of the process do you need the lishma on. And he's saying lishma by kachim is simply, it's not the issue of kavana. Lishma by kachim, the ideal level of lishma by kachim, is the question of focusing in on what's the process here, what's the game plan. Kavana is the why. Why and the what. Two different things.
So according to that, if you do give it for the wrong person, you're still okay.
What?
If you do the chatas for the wrong person, you did the lishma.
If you did the chatas for the wrong person,
you did. They both want a chatas, but
no, shinoy bailin. No, it's not lishma. That's not lishma. You know why?
Because it's about the process. The process is
the doing this korban. You know, I'm doing this process, so it should be a chatas. It is going to be a chatas, and it's.
Part of the process is, if Shinoi Bailim really is a problem, if Shinoi Bailim is really a problem, part of the process is, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to shech this korban for Phil. That's part of the what? What is this? This is a korban for Phil. That's part of the what? That's part of the what criteria. That doesn't ask me to say why I'm doing it, what did Phil do wrong, what in the Torah tells me that Phil needs to be a korban. That's not doing any of that. All it's doing is ask me, what's on the checklist, who's this, what's the protocol? Fill out the information, fill out the basic questionnaire on the paper. Who is this for? That's the who is part, is also a what question. Who is essentially a what question? It's all...
So lishma breaks up into numerous tranches of intent which are independent of one another. So the definition of what is lishma can be very hazy because you intended to bring a chatas on this person's behalf.
Yes.
But had no intention of bringing it for either what he did wrong or that it be this specific animal. Like, it becomes...
Okay. Now I want to incorporate Yair, bring it all together and close it up and give you something concrete to walk away with so we know what in the world we did here. Briskarov said that kavana, that lishma by kachim is kavana. Same thing.
That's the same as a karanara.
Karanara, yeah.
It's funny that the Briskarov is not the one with the sveidinim.
Oh, very good. Right. Well, Ravon seems a big brisker. Right here.
Brisker, but
believe me, the zvachim, the grizzon vlachim is brisker and is brisk enough that he could take a break every so often. But let's give a bottom line here, and I'll show you why this was important to do and how it's going to help us with everything. What areas need lishma? What areas need lishma? There are two primary areas that need lishma. Shinoi Kodesh and Shinoi Bailim. I need to make sure I got it for the right owner. It's for Phil. And I got to make sure I got the right animal. Those are the two that are really referred to as the, according to Tosfos at least, are the mandatory, are the ones I mamish need. You're going to see on Mem, Vav, and Beis that there's six areas of Lishma. There's other areas of Lishma.
Four extra.
What?
Four extra.
There's six areas. So what about those? Are those mandatory or not? So Mistama, the Shinoi Kodesh, which is changing it for the wrong animal, or Shinoi Bailim, or getting the wrong owner, those actually define what your Korban is. Those two things define your korban. There are two ways to define a korban. The name, is it an ola, is it a shlamim? What in the world is this korban? The second way to define your korban is to tell me whose korban is it. It's not just any ola, it's Phil's ola. It's Bob's ola. That's what defines the korban. The other lishmas we're going to learn about just define the process of the avodas hakorban. They just define the process of the avodas hakorban. That's what they're doing. That's the other one's much different. This is defining these two, which our Mishnah is mainly hinting to, which Tosis explains, are mainly hinting to the two primary lishmas I need to have are the lishma that this is the right animal, this is an ola, and it's Phil's ola. Those two define the essence of the animal. The rest just define the process. Those define the essence of the animal. What this is then saying is that there are some lishmas that are in the object, and there are some lishmas that are on the individual. There are some lishmas that are in the object, and there are some lishmas that are on the individual. What you will find as you go through most of Zvachim, as you go through them in Sugyas, is the lishmas that are in the animal, the lishmas that are in the animal that define the animal itself, the lishmas that define the animal, those are the ones that are lechatchila. Those are the ones that you need. That's what you need. What's it called? Sorry. What? They're not. Those are the ones that define the chefts of the animal. Those lishmas lechatchila, we need the chefts to have the proper lishma. But bidyeved, minimally, we need to have the gavra, the person, know what in the world is going on. The gavra needs to know what in the world is going on. So I would phrase it like this. There is a basic chakira going on over here, okay? That the concept of stama lishma, we assume stam, unless you blow it, a korban is lishma. Stam, a korban is lishma. Here's the chakira you need. Is that rule, that a korban is stama lishma, is that rule a rule that the animal itself carries with it the stama lishma, or is that you as a person, we assume you as a person have a stam lishma mindset? The difference is as follows. The animal itself, let's say you know nothing about korbanos. It's the animal. When a chatas comes to the Beis HaMikdash, this given time, this given place, with these kohanim standing around, this animal inherently is a stama lishma animal. Or is it no? Is it more about in you? Is it about you as an individual who have to have a certain mindset?
Why isn't it in both?
What?
Why
is it or is it a little bit of both?
Well, it can't be on you and the individual, because the pasuk comes to say specifically it's the shchita. So if the base level, we already said that kavana is already a higher level.
Right.
If the base level is coming on the person who's the shchita, then certainly any level higher than that would have to be coming on the person who's the
shchita. That's what it would
well.
Sound like. That's what it would sound like. I'm going to show you in 2 weeks from now, not next Monday, I'll tell you why next Monday. In 2 weeks from now, there's about 17 nafkaminas, wild cases that go from hilchas tefillin, circumcision, that go all the way across every line, gittin everywhere, where this question is relevant. Where is the lishma? When we say something is stama lishma, matzah, stama lishma, we assume it's basically lishma. Is the lishma in the object or is it in you? You're going to see how that has ramifications all the way across the board in so many areas. That's what this packet was mainly supposed to be. This was also supposed to be an introduction to the packet. And we didn't get to the packet. What I want to do this Monday night, since it's the Monday night before Purim, what I'm going to do...
Wednesday.
What?
Wednesday.
The Wednesday night before Purim. Because the Wednesday night before Purim, I want... Tanis Esther too. Wednesday night, Thursday, Tanis Esther. Right. What I want to do is discuss Purim and Kachim. And we'll use that as a springboard to discuss everything to finally get to one of the Korbanos, Korban Toda. The Korban Toda, I think, is very much connected to Purim and the Purim story. And you'll see why. And we'll get a real good hold on Korban Toda, rest our minds a little bit from this Lishma ordeal, and just figure out what a Korban Toda is, the announced Korban Toda, and what in the world, how it has to do with the whole entire Purim story. So many references, I think there are tons of references to the Korban Toda in the Purim story. We'll analyze the Korban Toda this Wednesday night, and next Wednesday night, I'm going to give you really what the heart of is of this sugya, why we did this whole philosophical introduction. All right, we stop there.
All right.